Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
So children and youth are going out. While I'm fixing this, can we have our reading? Thank you, Bea, for our reading, which comes from Matthew 20, 1 to 16.
So, reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in a marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'This last man had worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things.'" Actually, let me read that again. It's a question. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is he, your eye, evil because I am good? So the last will be the first, and the first the last. For many are called, but few chosen." Amen.
Amen. Bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Bea, for that. So being heard now? Fantastic. Just a shout out to my wife, who can't be the first one that she has not been able to see me preach because she's still recovering from surgery. So do hold her up in your prayers. So this message this morning, I believe that God wants to challenge, change, and continue transformation in our lives today if we put into practice what we hear. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God, right? Let me start this. I don't know if many of you, just turn me down a little bit because I'm ringing. Have you guys seen the program called The Apprentice? Yeah? Sir Alan Sugar. And what he does is he gets a bunch of people, graduates, and they get together and they perform certain tasks, and whoever performs the worst or poorly, there is a problem. And so by the panel, well, basically the panel looks over what these people have done. You actually see people aligning themselves with others. You see people breaking down in their relationships and excuses and all this sort of thing. But he does two things. He simply points the finger and says, "You're fired." My second question: how many of you have been fired? Put your hands up if you've been fired. I'm not talking about you've walked out of a job. I'm talking about you've been sacked. And you know, you needed to be because you weren't very good stewards of whatever it is, the resources. All right, hands up, who actually, you know, you needed to be fired, but you didn't get caught. Okay. Sam, you have to adjust that. I'm still ringing, mate. So, the title of today's message, believe it or not, is You're Hired, Not Fired in the Kingdom. And I have 3 points to make: God's grace and His mercy, all the G's, gratitude with attitude, and God's generosity. If you know anything about Jesus' parables, it's that he's an incredible storyteller. And those parables have a remarkable ability of engaging our imaginations and challenging our assumptions. Jesus didn't teach in parables to provide us with a blanket kind of comfort affirmation for the way that we understand God, ourselves, and other people. He taught us in parables to re-examine some of our own values, some of our own convictions, particularly in matters about eternal importance. For this reason, Jesus' parables often unsettle us rather than reassure us. So this is a scenario. I'm going to put a Lloydism on this, the parable that has just been read out by B. So you have this entrepreneurial landowner who has a retail park in Stratford and Westfield, and he goes out and he sees a bunch of guys and he says, "Would you like a job?" Because they're hanging around. And they say, yes, they're really interested. So he points the finger and he says, "You're hired. And I will pay you £100 a day. Just sign here on the dotted line. See you here tomorrow at 6 a.m. At 9 a.m. of that day, he went out again to Westfield's. And he saw some more guys hanging around, and girls, and said the same thing. "Well, would you like a job?" "Yeah." "Okay, great. Well, you know what? Sign here." And you start at 9 a.m. And of course, he does the same thing again at lunchtime, and he does the same thing again at 3 p.m. But at 5 p.m., he's still asking, "Come on, come on, more people, come on, would you like to?" "Yep, okay. Why are you standing by, idle? What are you doing? You're hired." Then he gives the command to his human resources manager to call up the steward, call up the laborers, beginning with the last first. So the guy that worked, all guys that worked for an hour received their wages. £100. Thank you, Diane. You're listening. Now, the guys who were last, who had presumed, they thought they were going to get a bigger paycheck. You know, they're just waiting. "Yeah, that guy only came just a minute ago. Look, mine is going to be, yeah." And "Yo, yo, yo, boss man, excuse me, hello sir, excuse me, but is this right? Because it looks like, well, I'm sorry, whose name on the contract, what did you sign? Wasn't it for £100 a day, right?" So my first point is God's grace and mercy. You can come into the kingdom of God at any time. It's sufficient. In fact, God's grace and mercy are new every morning. God's grace and mercy is full of potential. As we become sons and daughters. You know, before I became a Christian, I guess you could say I was a little bit idle, waiting on the sidelines. I was allowing life to push me by. You know, I was working, I was reacting to circumstance rather than, you know, living intentionally. I was a bit carefree, I was a clubber, you know. Woo, yeah, you know. But when I became a Christian, I remember that moment very clearly. And I was at St. Mary's Holloway, now called Hope Church, and I was at a Victory Outreach meeting. And the encounter with the Holy Spirit was life-changing, incredible. It changed my life from that moment onwards when I confessed that Jesus, you're the Son of God, come into my life. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. We live on purpose and we are fit for purpose and we are equipped for purpose. Now, we were coming back, you know, as we came out of lockdown and restrictions were lifted. I went to my first conference and called COVID. No. went to my first conference. And Phil With You, who heads up, is one of the leaders there, heads up North London Hub, had a prophetic word for me, just picked it out. And basically, he kind of said something like this on the lines that there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Like I was planning something, you know, and in front of everybody, like there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. And I thought, oh, okay. You know, just expose me like that, Phil. Thank you. But basically, yeah, God hadn't been done with me. And then someone else came up and said, yeah, you will be bearing fruit in old age. So I thought, oh, wow, okay, thank you, Jesus. But, that was good. But you see, that's the promise of God. And you will receive, as those guys received, when the work is done, God has given us that promise. You will receive power. Next point, gratitude with attitude. Now, let's be honest here. How many of us, being in that position, would not have grumbled, would not have compared, would not have said, hold on, nah, man, nah, excuse me. Human nature, measuring time and effort, grumbling. You know, a lot of stories in the Bible talk about grumbling and what happened to grumbling people. I'm thinking of the one in Moses where they opposed Moses, that particular person, I can't remember, Jethro or something, and the ground, you know, all his followers, and God separated those people. All who were for God come this way, all those who are not. Anyway, grumbling. Cain and Abel, perfect sacrifice, one sacrifice was accepted. One was not. One was vegetables, one was the fat of the lamb. But because of Cain's countenance that dropped because it wasn't accepted to the Lord warned him that his countenance was dropping and that sin was crouching at his door. And there's another translation for that. It says, sin is waiting to have its wicked way with him. I have a neighbor, I often look out my window and I see this particular neighbor who makes a beeline for all the workers and you could see her and it's very animated and you look through the window, they've tried to run. You keep away from people like that, but, or when that person you see coming. We're all equal in the eyes of God, even though we don't deserve it. Now, I don't think it's any coincidence that in the last few verses of the previous chapter of 19:30, we remember when Peter said, "We've left all to follow you," in 19:27. "Therefore, what shall we have? Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man says," this is what Jesus says, "of his glory, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters, father or mother, wife, children or land for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are many who are first will be last, and the last first." So even Peter is missing the point of Jesus' teaching by proclaiming that he's filled all the conditions. I've left everything to follow you, Jesus. Hey, I've left everything to follow you. Rather than the warning about riches gives way to the promise of a reward for those who have left those things behind for Jesus' sake. And you can apply this to any situation. Are you working to do a good job for your boss or whoever it is? Or are you working for the money, money, money? It's all about the money, money, money. Ka-ching, ka-ching, you know. But basically, the blessings in the age to come will far outweigh material loss or material gain in this age. The blessings in the age to come, that's what I mean. And rewards will be given by heaven's standard. And the parable grows out of the attitude that the disciples had shown towards service and rewards. Although the rewards are forthcoming, Jesus rebukes the spirit of serving for the reward itself, rather than out of love. You know, it's a bit like seeking the hands of God rather than the face of God, or it's like the gift, but not the giver. Clive mentioned last week about people doing the bare minimum and still wanting the benefits of a full reward. Here lies the problem. Beginning with the last, complaints and grumblings come with the reverse order of payment. When it is time to settle the wages, "This is unfair. Wait a minute. Mr. 5 p.m. group of workers got the same wage as Mr. 6 a.m. and Mr. 3 p.m. and Mr. lunchtime got the same as Mr. 6 a.m. You've heard me say it before. Servanthood or service requires a mental shift, a change in your attitudes. God is always more interested in why we do something than what we do. Attitudes count more than achievement. Now, whether you fully understand it or not, but Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And he demonstrated that as well in Matthew 20:28. Now, some of us in our bosses and our jobs and all that, we're serving man or woman, but are we serving that as unto God? You might be working for a charity organization, you might be working for a conglomerate, you might be road sweeper, or you might be a cleaner, you might be a doctor or a lawyer. Ultimately, it's God that has put you there in the first place, and we're serving him. And we don't get by with a less attitude or a bare minimum. Business owners treat their employers well. I can imagine Yeast Bakery. That must be fantastic to work for, you know. Help yourself. I don't think so. All-tight fencing, yeah. you know, Angela might be able to understand this. I know there's a culture as well. You can go a little bit the other side. Because I used to work for White Stuff. I mean, I wasn't a menswear designer or a womenswear. But I used to help with the drawings and collate the drawings, you know, and do a little bit of that stuff. But people were chained to the desk. I mean, I'd go out for lunch because I was a freelancer. And I'm like, these people haven't shifted. And there was a culture of just like, tip, tip, tap. Tip, tip, tap. Now, workaholics. No. It's not about that. There's a balance, right? And I remember also, I used to work for an urban youth development centre as I labour this point. And, yeah, urban youth development centre. And we had an activities area and we had a media area. The activities area, table tennis, had to be cleaned weekly. And it was interior designed, the inside, but the outside was crap. It's a crappy building. You went there, you wouldn't think half the stuff was in there. I think that's how we managed to survive on the estate of Penn Street, you know. And but one day, Julio handed me a mop and a bucket. And it was my turn. And special floor, two coatings. There you are, there you go. And I said, but man, look, that's coverage. You know, that's space. Man, that's a lot to do there. So he said, look, Lloyd, this is what you need to do. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I learned something that day. But I'm so proud of the setup team who get here every Sunday. You know, Adam, Robert, Dan, a few others. But I'm particularly proud of Gemma. Because Gemma will still come to church and set up at 8 a.m. after a 12-hour shift. So while some of you are still drawing snore, this girl is plugging away. Thank you. But guess who modeled it first? Clive and Debbie. They came from Basildon to Islington and started off down that theatre down the road, Saddle as well, thank you. And when we got the new bit of kit for worship, Sam and myself decided, look, you know what, man, if we're going to have to make this thing work and everybody's coming in, we're going to have to do some work. Let's start at 8 a.m. Let's better get this thing ready. And that culture, I thank those guys because they followed that culture as their spiritual act of worship. No, I won't say that. Yeah, I will say that. Children of God, listen, man. We get paid, right, to go to work, but we still can't get here for the one who sends you to work. That's all I'm going to say. Mums, I know what it's like with children, because now having a 13-year-old grandchild, that is, yeah. I'm not going to say nothing else. Last point, God's generosity. As I said in the beginning, God invites us to re-examine some of our values and convictions about matters of eternal importance. The urgency of eternity versus hell, out of darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. We need to tell people about Jesus, the gospel message. Each and every person here, every one of you here, is a worker in God's vineyard. As Christians, we have the greatest privilege of telling people about Jesus. Our mission, to transform the people of London and beyond by showing them who God really is. The gospel message is free. And we heard last week that Clive mentioned he likes bargains or getting them for the right price, right? Well, we all like a bargain, don't we? especially my wife, she lives in TK Maxx, you know. But salvation is free. But there is a cost, and that cost is you. That cost is me. Bought and paid for, his life for yours, your filthy rags for his righteousness and spotless white robes. That exchange took place on the cross. The powerful message of the cross is good news. Paid in full. I love the album. No. But it was paid in full. God calls us to be generous as well with our time and money. Because guess what? You can never outgive God. It doesn't matter. You can never outgive God. And do you know what? The one thing I like about Christianity and the way we are as brothers and sisters is that we are family. And it's the only place where you can get different people together that would help and serve. I was at a meeting. I was in debt to the tune of 16,000 timeshare. Something went crazily wrong. And someone said, a prophetic word came, and someone said, there's someone here who's at a meeting, and yeah, he's in financial, they're experiencing financial issues. And it actually, it's really quite hard. It's really quite difficult for them. Whoever that is, please. And I was a young Christian then, and I was like, well, nah, man, nah, I can't get up there and go up the front, and hello, that's me. So I did get the guts. So the long and the short of it is, there were a Christian lawyer there who then advocated on my behalf, who then halved, got the interest down, got the debt down, but that can only happen in a Christian family, in a Christian environment. And there was no cap back then, Christians against poverty. It was just the love of God. And someone receiving that word, giving that word, and we stepping out in faith and receiving that word. We heard about receiving, right? I just want to say, maybe you're aware that this story is not just about the workers in the vineyard. Essentially, the story has a far greater meaning, obviously. You know, people who consider themselves the most important in the kingdom of God because of their good deeds will be surprised that this is not how God's grace works. People who come to Christianity later in their lives will still be given the same reward, entry into the kingdom of heaven, as those who have been faithfully serving the Lord Jesus all their lives. The thief on the cross. Remember me, Lord, will you come into your kingdom? Tonight, you will be with me in paradise. Wasn't an evangelist, wasn't, it's confess and believe in your heart. Heaven celebrates one sinner who repents and turns back to God. Finds his way home in right relationship with God. Like that amazing testimony from young Fred last week. Now, I don't think it's ever... The issue isn't whether you come to God now or whether you come to God early. That's not the issue. The issue is the issue of the heart. That we can celebrate Fred. We can celebrate Ted, who's gone home to the Father. We celebrate. God's generosity cannot be measured, not over time or space or any other thing. The Father's generosity is lavish and overflowing and abundant in love, because God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16, we all know that. Vicky, where's Vicky? Can you just come down and play something for me? But I just want to say this. God comes knocking for each and every person. And each and every person is unique. But it's one and the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. that open invitation. It's no coincidence that the previous chapter ends with the same challenge. The first shall be last, and the last first. As Christians, whatever the heights we achieve in our ministries or in our marketplace or in the workplace, whatever we achieve, when we pass on the baton to the next generation, our ceiling will be the new floor for our younger generation, our young people. They should be surpassing us, going past us, soaring higher. Because the firm foundation that is built in and on our churches is built on Christ, the solid rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? Hallelujah? In conclusion, guys, remember this, folks. God's grace and His mercy is sufficient. You can come into the kingdom of God at any time. He is our constant companion. Some of you need to be reminded of His promise. And guys, let's drop the attitude, the gratitude. You're kind of thanking God, but at the same time, you're still measuring. Let's let that go. Some of us that are longer in the tooth, you know what I mean by that, been longer Christians, you understand that phrase? We got to kind of allow it for the younger ones because they're just finding their feet. And, you know, we have to not judge so critically as we celebrate others. There's no room for jealousy or envy. And remember, God's generosity, it's lavish. It's lavish. It's overflowing. It's abundant. Each and every one of you are blessed because of Christ's work. Because God gave His one and only Son. So if everybody could stand, I just want to pray, and then maybe there's a few points. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, that there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. That, Lord, we are hired, not fired, in God's economy. That man's inflation is nothing compared to heaven's resources. Help us to steward our time and money well. Forgive us, Lord, when we have grumbled or complained. Let us be Forgive us, Lord, when we have grumbled and complained. Let us be concerned about today and our neighbors rather than tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough problems as its own. And we do continue to pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones. Comfort them and be with them at this time. I think the points you can pray for in your groups when you do. So just hold on, worship team, because I do want these guys to pray. Maybe there's some of you who have been feeling a little bit idle. And maybe you feel that life as a Christian life may have been passing you by. And you're thinking, well, am I living on purpose? Am I fit for purpose? Am I equipped for purpose? You thought you'd be much further ahead by now. But the Lord is saying, yes, you are. Yes, you are. It's not late. It's on time. And for some, your contentment, that struggle, if you're honest, you've been grumbling a bit. You've been complaining. In a sense, I wouldn't say even grumbling. There's a sense of frustration. And God wants to handle that. Pray for yourselves on that. And I just feel that this is a biggie. Finance is an issue somewhere along the line where stewardship, you haven't stewarded money very well. And God wants to help with that because of meeting the cost of rising inflation and the cost of living. I do have a word for somebody. There's someone here, whether you want to pray in your group or here, I believe that a biological ticking clock, times are moving on with regard to a family. I don't know who that is. You don't have to put your hand up or whatever. But if you'd like prayer, come down. And I believe there's a business idea or person who wants to go down the entrepreneurial route, but you need mentoring and follow through. So, yeah, if that makes any sense to you. Vicky. Yes, Vicky. Thank you, Lord. I believe that the Lord, a couple of weeks ago, I wrote it down when I do my devotionals. He came to my mind. God says that there is children's books in you. There's like series, and I saw the illustration of the book. I saw the illustration of a child, but big eyes. There's books. There's children work in there, and I believe it. As I'm saying it, believe it, receive it, because God wants to use you and wants you to pursue that role in Jesus' name. Thank you. Hallelujah.